Welcome, friends. I'm Nanette Weiser, and with me today in studio is Alexandra Jones, Project Alchemy, and this is the podcast about dance, love, graciousness, and beauty. Welcome.
Hi. It's good to be here.
Well, you know, you and I were talking about African-American artists, dancers, for two reasons this month. It was Juneteenth on the 19th, mm-hmm. and it's also Pride Month. So will you share with our listeners, take us on a little journey on the contribution of the African-American culture in dance?
That's so much. I can think of two. I'll kind of speak of it for myself, just some prominent Black dance artists and queer dance artists that have really kind of shaped my life. Bill T. Jones, he actually set a work in USF, Sarah Not the Proposition, on the life of Abraham Lincoln. But also it was about more than just that, his relationship with all the civil unrest that was happening during that time. And I had learned about him in school, him and his company with his partner, Bill T. Jones and Artie Zane. And that was, I had not been out yet. I didn't come out until later on in my like college experience. So doing that work with him during that time really kind of shaped how I started to make work, how I started to look at dance theater and immersive dance. And also what queer stories look like, what Black stories look like. Having somebody tell Abraham's story, but from a Black perspective, how it affected the culture. I also think of Alvin Ailey, Bob Devin Jones, one of my besties and a mentor of mine. He always brings me back to Alvin Ailey, and I saw that with him and Diane Bailey Morton. And going back to Revelations, and he was talking to me about, you know, making this company and how this company would be my form of Revelations, and akin to an Alvin Ailey. So those are the predominant people. But then I also, one mentor that I really love working with, and she'll be hopefully more around in this area soon, Jennifer Archibald. She's a B-girl from Canada. That's now entered into the contemporary and ballet scene, and not entered in. She's been in those scenes for a really, really long time. But she shaped the way in which I learned how to look at dance as business, look at dance in terms of like my business as like an independent artist, but also business as in how she maneuvers through the ballet world, a world that, in some cases, I think it's getting better with looking at Black bodies, but like doesn't always. She's a powerhouse. She's super tall and incredible, but very soft too. And I really admire that.
And of course, Misty Copeland, just, you know, it's so interesting that she's now leaving the ballet world. What do you make of that?
I think she's leaving so that other people can also enter. And that's kind of how I look at it. She was able to pave the way, but there's so many others that are coming up in ballet. It's kind of a maybe a one door closes, but one door opens type of situation. And now she's able to move on to something else. So
it's very exciting. You know, dance is so much part, you know, as we are celebrating Pride Month. Mm-hmm. You know, I think about the Vogue scene in New York City, right? And of course, those of you who have watched, is it HBO that show is on, or Max, or one of them?
I believe it's HBO.
Right? And you look at the African-American artists that, you know, they were marginalized mm-hmm. in New York City. And now we have Pride, and this is a front and center. It seems like all the celebrations that are going on, not just in St. Pete, but all over, dance is part of it. Talk to me about dance as expression, freedom, and revelation.
It's so interesting that you talk about voguing, because that's become a big part of culture, of dance culture, of it's becoming a part of like the dance vernacular. in jazz. And it's also so interesting that, like, a lot of the mainstream cultural trending dances or things like that, they come from Black culture. I think that it's a way of protest. It's a way of saying that I'm still here. It's a way of reclaiming, being in the body, embodying. And so I think dance is, I don't know, I think of dance particularly, it's a way of communication, I've said that, but I also think of it as a way of speaking out against, of resisting, not conforming. So interesting too, right? Not conforming, but then also bringing a, building a community at the same time of individuals. So, and those two things that are polarizing also can like exist in a world at the same time.
I'm going to throw out some great names from history because I just, you know, I grew up in New York City and then in Los Angeles. So I want to start, of course, with Alvin Ailey.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about the influence of Alvin Ailey for you or inspiration-wise.
I just had this conversation with Lauren Sloan. We just met for coffee and we were, you know, talking about great institutions of dance. And we were talking about Ailey. The fact that Ailey was being started at a time that the Judson Church was also being happening at the same time in New York. But the company was like solidifying itself as a company at the same time that like white companies had been established for a long time, still working towards, you know, what the stature they are now. But like just looking at that timeline of like this company is coming into its own at the same time that these artists are also, you know, breaking away from traditional dances and, you know, getting interested in choreographies. That was very interesting to me. And then to see what Ailey is now, to be able to go into those studios, to see a celebration of Black dance and Black bodies, it's huge. And it's kind of become, in some ways, a marker for dancers. And then in some ways, I know for me, my personal journey, I love the work of Alvin Ailey, and I also fought against it in a lot of ways, in the sense that it was a space where I'd be in conversations about, you know, my aspirations in dance, things that I wanted to do, things that I wanted to choreograph, and everybody would immediately say, well, you know, Alvin Ailey. And it's like, yes, but there are so many other artists outside of this in this one institution. It's the main institution, it's known, but there's all these other people that are also making work. And I don't want my body to just be associated with this one entity.
Folks, if you've just tuned in, we are speaking with Alexandra Jones, Project Alchemy Dance Podcast. I want to read some names of people that I just want to do shout outs to Catherine Dunham, Alvin Ailey. We talked about Janet Collins, who was the first African-American prima ballerina at the Metropolitan Opera. Lauren Anderson, the first African-American principal dancer at the Houston Ballet. I'm going to throw Josephine Baker in there. And I'm going to throw, of course, we talked about Misty Copeland, but also Virginia Johnson, the founding member of the Dance Theater of Harlem, mm-hmm. and Debbie Allen. So, you know, we go from high to low. There's so many other ones. I've used African and Afro-Haitian dance. I want to talk about the cultural references during Pride. It seems to me we are celebrating a lot of music, global music.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about that. Global music and global dance.
I think this year in particular, Pride hits in a different way, at least for me. And I think I've been tapping into more queer artists. I've been tapping into more queer and BIPOC musicians. Gwen Bunn is one that I think of, that I listen to constantly. And Janelle Monáe is another that I think of. She just released a comic that sold out on its first day of release, which is huge. And these are people who are building worlds. They're becoming pioneers in Afrofuturism, especially now. And they're building off of like Octavia Butler's and Toni Morrison's and James Baldwin's, you know, who were also doing this work. So I think, I don't know, I think Pride for me this year, and its music and its movement, it does feel rebellious. It's always felt rebellious, but I think in other years, maybe it was something that was a joyous occasion, more joy. There was still rebellion, but I think, I don't know, it's disheartening to see the Trevor Project, you know, being terminated. That's like not the Trevor Project, but the suicide hotline, like that is, and I want to make sure I correct it's the suicide hotline, but I that helps so many people, you know? And so I think when you are somebody that's in a marginalized situation, I think about myself talking about those stories. I've had similar stories. Music, dance, arts is the thing that I cling to. That's the thing that nurtures me. And so it's so needed, especially now.
And, you know, we're talking today about dance as a healing practice and activism. And you mentioned James Baldwin. You actually did a project. Let's talk about that. This is very mm-hmm. personal for mm-hmm. you.
So 2018, I go to grad school and I am starting to work on a thesis project. This is actually the beginnings of Project Alchemy. So this was one of the first pieces that Project Alchemy produced. And it was called Voices. I did it at the studio at 620. I set up the space so that it had five stages. But those stages were hidden. There were, you entered in through the back of 620, akin to times when blacks had to enter into the back of establishments. And so I made the audience that I figured would be predominantly white enter into the back of a black co-created space. And I put up all these posters that, you know, talked about like kind of telling you what would happen when you entered into the space, mainly saying like, you know, make sure that during the whole, really asking you for the entire piece to not talk. And not talk because in this idea of deep listening, right, I want to make sure that I am listening to what is being said, I can digest it, and then I can respond. So I'm not talking over it, even if I enjoy something. Like, how do you just really sit in silence and listen to someone? Those were some of the tools that we had to utilize in grad school. So that's what I was kind of asking my audience to do without really forcing them. And then I kind of took you on a ride. I created a character called Pink Hoodie. He was my social justice warrior. He still exists. And I made this world. And it was the story of my Me Too story. It was the story of Pulse, my relationship to that. It was the story of me rupturing with my blackness at the age of 28 and figuring out what my voice sounds like. And also what that means with me being queer and in a religious Catholic family and what all of that kind of, how all of those things mesh. And so as you watch this work, I might dance in the aisle, but then I told my Me Too story in a space that looked like a closet akin to where it actually happened. And then there's a moment where I actually, I play a video of James Baldwin, but then my body becomes the embodiment of his words as you're watching him talk about the marginalization of black people in America, which then is connected to me dancing to Put on a Happy Face by Diana Ross and the Supremes, but in a way that evokes black rage, the idea that I have to smile, grin, and bear it, but I so badly want to scream on the outside. I talk about losing a friend in Pulse, and my personal experience with how that happened and how that shaped me, but also how that shaped me from not wanting to shy away from being authentically me. There was a moment where that did happen, and then not. And so that was a very eye-opening work, and I actually find myself still making works within that world, and still revisiting those works and expanding on them now because it's still so much a part of me.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I'm always so deeply moved when you and I have a conversation, and you're talking about upcoming works, and I'd like to just, if we might, talk mm-hmm. about feature some of these things. Mm-hmm. The first one that is so exciting, you've announced your 2025-2026 season, The Good mm-hmm. Peaches by Chiara Alegria. Would you say her last name for me? Or his Kudes?
Yes.
It's directed by Helen Murray. It's conducted by Chelsea Gallo, and it's choreography by Alexander Jones. It's a fairy tale. It's a nature epic, and it's going to be a collaboration between American Stage, Florida Orchestra, and Project Alchemy Dance Company. This is really big.
This is huge.
And it's going to be at the Mahaffey, September 20th. Tell us about this.
So this was something that Helen, this was Helen's kind of brainchild. She wanted to bring a big collaboration to St. Pete. And she wanted to do the work, The Good Peaches. And by design, it's done with theater and music and some type of movement. So she was like, I know of the Florida Orchestra. She was looking at dance companies. She was like, I like the work that Project Alchemy does in terms of like immersive, out of the box type work. And so she asked me to be a part of this project. And this is the first time I will say that I've choreographed, second time, because I've choreographed in the Strass. So this is my second time on a big stage. But this is my first time on a big stage actually featuring the dance company, which is something I would never think of myself doing. It's also interesting because Project Alchemy is known for our black box work or our intimate work. So it's huge to be on it, to create a work on for a stage this big. And the dancers are, I don't know how much of it I can say.
No, don't tell too much because we're going to have Helen come back in with you and hopefully Chelsea Gallo. But let me just, yeah. It's a girl's wish for upheaval. Mm-hmm. So we've been talking about change and mm-hmm. expressing change through dance and the aftermath of a wish granted, set against the roaring waves of a massive storm. Good Peaches blends music, theater, and dance in a dazzling extravaganza. I'm going to guess this is going to travel. I'm going to guess you're going to have to film this. I'm going to guess this is going to be bigger than just this one. What are you saying?
I hope that we have another opportunity to do this. We're in like the beginning stages of creating the work. I know that I've started creating some movement. We've been in meetings about costumes and lighting and like the logistics of like space and things. But I hope this actually leads to more opportunities of bigger collaborations, because that's the thing that gets my heart going, is really working with people in the community, and making something that's larger than ourselves. And I think the Good Peaches having these three organizations come together, we really are making something that's larger than us.
You really did move a mountain to make that happen. And honestly, Broadway, are you listening? I'm going to move on to something that I'm really, another one I'm excited about. Momentum Choreographers Showcase, Moving Surreal, and in partnership with the Dolly. You've manifested everything. This is going to be October 14th and 21. Tell us a little bit about your 2025 Momentum Choreographic Mentorship Artist Cohort.
So we have five artists, Fernando Chonqui, Justin Brock, Madison Bender, Mariah Mache, and Faith Miller. They applied. This is their seventh season of Momentum. This is a brainchild of mine that kind of came from Project Genius through 620. That was a mentorship program that I got to be a part of, and it really springboarded my career. So when making Project Alchemy, I made Momentum, which was to propel dance artists into the community. And so we've had about 17, I believe, artists go through this program. And so now we're adding five more. And this year is different, and they've always been able to create new works. It's about creating the new works. It's also about them figuring out what their artistic process is. That is the most important thing. So, like, how does your life and your dance, like, intersect, and how do you make work in that way? Because I am a believer that, like, they are separate things, but they don't live separately in me. So I'm giving the dancers 5 months to kind of explore and do things, and we're just in chats and offering them space to create this work. The cool thing about this year is that they're working with the Outside In exhibit at the Dolly Museum. So they are choreographing works based off of the Shine Mural Festival current and past artists who've made work based off of Salvador Dali's work. So it is an artist making work, an artist riffing off of that work, and then these dancers riffing off of their work to make some new work. And I have to do a shout out to Joy Garrett Douglas, because she really helped to make this happen. We've been partnering with them with another outreach project, which has been their summer camp. So we've been doing creative movement and working with their students in that way over the summers. And now it's a new opportunity has blossomed. And so I just hope that it continues. They're going to be performing in and out of mostly in the gallery where the art is happening. And so I'm excited to see that explode.
Well, you know, we have Art in Bloom in San Diego at the museum, Museum of Fine Arts, but this is Dance in Bloom. And I love the fact that you're now using dance as a language, dance, you know, instead of words, dance instead of flowers. And it's an immersive experience for the audience as well. Let's continue on before we sign off with you and take on 2026, which is mixed across St. Pete. It features new work by the company's artists of Project Alchemy, January 4th through the 10th. Tell us a little bit about this.
So this is a huge endeavor. We're going to have dance all over St. Pete. And I did some research on the boroughs and the neighborhoods and the different districts. And I've tasked the dancers of the company to create work in the different spaces. So there might be a piece in historic Kenwood or Old Northeast or Roser Parks, the Deuces, one downtown. I'm trying to really span it around St. Pete. And these dance happenings will just happen. They're not really going to be literal pop-ups, but whoever sees them sees them. And it's kind of asking the question, you know, does dance need an audience for it to still be dance? Does performance need an audience for it to still be performance? Can you happen on a performance? What does that do to you? What does that do to your day? Are you changed by it? Can these ordinary acts of whatever these artists decide to do, is that considered dance? And then it'll culminate in a performance that we do on January 10th that will – you will revisit these works that have been done and documented in these spaces, and we will present them in a different way. That way I don't know, which is kind of the fun thing about being the curator on this, because I'm not presenting work. I am mainly facilitating and giving space for the company to present work. That's really important to me, that the dancers of the company, I think that's why I refer to them more as company artists, that yes, they dance, and they also create, and they also teach, that it's feeding them in as many ways as possible so that they don't just – they're not machines.
That's why you are the artistic director coming up with the most unique things. New York City, move over. We have our very – this is the Arts Coast. It is the Dance Coast. So I want to finish up with something I'm very excited about, which is Above Below. No, this is not Stranger Things, the next installment. It's an immersive gallery experience with Joey Clay, who is truly one of my – he's an international director of photographer. Tell me briefly about this, and then we're going to talk a little bit about what you can do to get involved with Project Alchemy before we sign off on this exuberant podcast.
Above Below comes from this statement that is the above is of the below and the below is of the above, meaning that what's happening below is what's happening above, and vice versa. The abbreviated statement is, you know, as below or as above, as above, so below. But I wanted to use the actual origin of the statement and create this work. I'm interested in shadow work, so that's where this work is coming from, dealing with shadow self and how that shadow self may appear and how I know that I've been doing this work for a really long time, so I am not trying to run from my shadow, but learn from it. And so in using, Joey's incredible. He has done work on my thesis. I first met Joey doing a project for an artist, and Bob invited me to see the show because he was like, Joey Clay,
Bob
this
Devin
guy.
Jones, former executive director of for Bob.
Yes,
just the most important, one of the most important people in the whole world. But go ahead.
He, Joey, did this beautiful video of this of kind of documenting how this painter was making this work, and you get to see the work at the very end, like live. But watching the brush strokes and the way that Joey took care and like capturing the process was so beautiful that I was like, I need to work with you in some capacity. So we've done some small dance projects here and there. And he'll always say to me, Alex, so what do you want me to do? Like, what shots do you want me to catch? Like, what are you thinking? And I'm just like, I just want you to do whatever Joey Clay does, because Joey Clay does really good stuff. And he's like, yeah, so I'm just riffing. And I'm like, yeah, Joey, you're just riffing, because I don't want to give you direction. You know what you need to see, and you'll tell me, and we'll collaborate in that way. So his artwork will be around the space as we perform, and the images that he captures of the company artists is actually what I will use to create the movement material for the actual work. And looking at shadow work. So we've already kind of done one photo shoot. We'll be doing another one, and then we'll be incorporating his video and even in ways of lighting the dancers, using the shadows of their bodies to light the dancers in the space. So it's going to be we're still crafting, but we have the foundation of it. And I'm just really honored to call him a friend and be able to work with him. So
you're not here in studio with us, but Andy, our producer, and I are. And you know, as Alexander moves, I move. It's really, this conversation flows like dance. It's just so wonderful. So listen, there's many more shows. We'll have the whole list up. You can get a hold. The website is?
www.projectalchemy.dance.
So let's talk about how the community can get dancing.
We have a couple of different ways. I know that I just finished an open company class series, but that'll be coming back possibly on Wednesdays. So visit the website for more info on that. That'll be in our classes and workshops. Speaking of classes, we hold community classes every Saturday from 10 to 1. So we have a class that starts at 10 and it goes from 10 to 11:30, and then an 11:30 to 1 class. Our teachers rotate. So sometimes you'll have a salsa fusion class, you'll have a cardio class, you'll have a contemporary class, you'll have an improv class, you'll have tap. It always moves. And it's $10 for an hour and a half. So, I mean, like, you won't get something like that anywhere else.
No, and we'll put that address on. So Alexander Jones, founder and artistic director, Project Alchemy. For more information, if you want to reach him, please email him at info@projectalchemy.dance. Continue to create, collaborate, and transform. That's your mission.
That's our values. That's alchemy. And that's what the company was built on. So creating innovative works, collaborating with the community, and transforming spaces and people. That's the thing that we care about. So
folks, thank you so much for joining us for this wonderful podcast with Alexandra Jones, our dance correspondent. Please follow Project Alchemy. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.